Amen, amen, amen. How many ready to receive from God today? I said, how many ready to receive from God today? How many know there was not a better teacher than Jesus? And yet, as good as a teacher as he was, how many know there were people who didn't receive what he had for them? How many believe there's an anointing today on my lips? Let me try that again. How many believe there's an anointing today on my lips? Well, I am believing there is an anointing today on your ears. And so I pray that we would come into this service with hearts that are humble, with an attitude that would say, God, I need to hear what you have for me today. And with a focus to say, I'm not going to let, you know, you can be sitting there looking very astute and paying attention, looking that way, but your mind is somewhere else. How many understand what I'm saying? And I like what Joshua said, we are in a war, that is a battle, and it's taking place right now, as Satan will try to get you distracted. The word that I have to say today will be extremely helpful to you. But it will only be helpful to that which you receive. Does that make sense? So I pray that you're ready to receive. My wife caught me today. I was in the kitchen and I was staring at the orange juice. And she said, Drew, why are you staring at the orange juice? I said, because it says concentrate. Carlos is giving me a big thumbs up over there. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James, if you don't know, it's in the New Testament. It's towards the end. Towards the end. James was, I don't know if you know this, James was Jesus' brother. Yeah. Who else was a Jesus' brother, and he wrote a book in the New Testament? Jude. James chapter 4. And we spent a couple weeks trying to get here. Because in James chapter 4, God reminds us, and James tells us, that if we resist Satan, he will flee. Say, if I resist Satan, come on, everybody say it. If I resist Satan, he will flee. Well, what is the reciprocal of that? If we do not resist Satan, what happens? He will not flee. The Bible says in Corinthians that no temptation has to overcome you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Say no temptation.
No temptation.
But with that temptation, the Bible says that God will provide a way of escape. How many know there's ways of escaping temptation? The question isn't, can you live a life free from sin? The question is, when you see the off-ramp, will you take the off-ramp? How many ever been driving somewhere and you're just so used to driving a certain way that you should have taken the off-ramp before it, but you got used to doing it the other way, and you didn't even take that off-ramp. It's not because it wasn't there. It's because you didn't take it. And we spent 2 weeks. We're just reviewing in communicating, because so much of the body of Christ has become victims. We've played the victim card. Oh, we're such a victim. We'd be in a different position if it wasn't for this and it wasn't for that. And it's my parents' fault and my grandparents' fault. And you know what? You know, I mean, if I just had straight hair and I have curly hair, if you have curly hair, if I just had straight hair, all these, if I was taller, if I was shorter, if I was skinnier, if I was more chunky, whatever you come up with, all these reasons for excuses. And James lays it right out there and says, let me tell you what's up. And he does it in a positive way to say, if you resist Satan, he will flee. And I spent 2 weeks because I wanted you to understand the power that you have. Because so many people are trapped, and they're trapped in their own mess. And they don't recognize that they have the key. Have you ever done this? You know what? You're asking where your sunglasses are. Where are my sunglasses? Where are my sunglasses? You ever done this? And they're right on your head. You know, the other day, this is a true story. The other day I had my keys and I'm thinking, oh man, where are my keys? Where did I put my keys? Where did I make? They were in my hand. Is that, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you, before you laugh at me, recognize there are things Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is areas in your life that he has ripped you off, that he has stolen. There's things that God wanted you to walk in that you never walked in, and it doesn't have anything to do with it's not God's will. It has to do with you should have taken the opportunity that you have that James is throwing out there saying, if you'll resist Satan, he'll flee. Yes, sir. And now all of a sudden you're walking in a freedom. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have to resist them in another sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 20 days. But then what do you do? Come on, this is deep. Then what do? You resist him again. Amen. And what must he do? He must flee. We spent 2 weeks talking about this, and this was so important coming to where we're at today, which is a promise. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, it's found in James chapter 4, and James says this: if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. And I recognized in this two-part reality of power that we had so much power, as we have power to resist the devil and he'll flee, and then draw close to God and he'll draw close to us. I mean, do you recognize? I don't know where you're at today. As many people are here today, there's probably all kinds of different places that you are in your spiritual journey. Some of you feel very close to God, and you're in a good place. Others of you feel far from God, and you barely made it to church today. And I'm glad you're here. And then others of you, you're not in a bad place, but you just know that there's a lot more that God wants to lead you into. How many like that today? Raise your hand if you're like that today. And I want to tell you, if you'll take these two parts of resisting Satan and he'll flee, and then draw close to God and he'll draw close to you, I'm telling you what, there is this place that God has for you. I love the foundation that I was able to acquire as I was raised in a Baptist church. And I learned so many wonderful things. And one of the wonderful things that I learned was there was a place when we die. It's called heaven. And we're going to be with Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And all our tears are going to be wiped away. You know what? And God is going to be there, and we're going to be, and I'm going to be able to have a conversation with my Father again. And you're going to be able to have conversations with your loved ones again. And we're going to be able to speak to Peter and Moses and Aaron and all these wonderful, mighty men and women that went to, that have gone before us. It's going to be a wonderful time, and I thank God for that heritage. But one of the things that I think I miss, and I'm going to talk about it just in a minute in a little bit more detail, is when I was raised in the Baptist church, there was such an emphasis on in salvation, salvation, salvation. What they meant with salvation was to be born again and be able to be saved and you could go to heaven. And how many know that's a wonderful thing? And how many know that's a wonderful thing? But what I started to recognize in my Christian life later on is that my wonderful life doesn't have to start when I get to heaven. My wonderful life can start now because I've got a relationship with God. Are you learning something? So let's jump into it here. James chapter 4. And let's just go to verse 8 first, and then I'll show you some things. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and what does he do? And he will draw near to you. I love the way the word is, I love the way God communicates to us. He communicates with this confidence. He communicates with this clarity. He communicates with this assuredness. Look what he says. Because let me tell you about God. He cannot lie. So James says, when you draw close to God, he will not, might, not sometimes, not if he's not too busy. The promise is if you'll draw close to him, he will draw close to you. I have four things I want to go over with you, and it won't take me very long. The first is this. I want you to notice the second part of this verse or these verses. And then I want you to notice how what it's sandwiched in between. How many know sometimes it's very important that we not only read the verse, but we read the verse before and we read the verse after. So let's start with verse 8. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. But I want you to notice what he says. The very next thing, look what he says. He says, cleanse your hands. You know, how many know he's not talking about prophetically during COVID? Can somebody say amen? No, he's not talking about that. He's talking figuratively, and he's saying there needs to be this cleansing of your life. Cleanse your hands. Hands representing where you do and what you go and what you do with your hands. Come on. Amen. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your what? Your hearts, you, here, you what? Double-minded. Double-minded. Somebody say double-minded. Oh, I love God. Talked about this last week, right? And I have sins that I love. No, there needs to be a cleansing of that. We need to become people that are single-focused, not double-minded. James says in another place, he says, and this is something that's very, very important. You know, sometimes there's these sins that we talk about in the church. Smoking dope, getting high, you know what, getting drunk, having sex outside of marriage. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Here, let me just tell you what. You know, how many know what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, you just got to stay here for a minute. He said, Pastor, yo, I saw you were looking at me when you said that. That has nothing to do with me looking at you. It has to do with what's going on in your life. Amen? Let me just say this. If you're having sex outside of marriage, you know what? You're hurting yourself. Yeah, but Pastor, we love each other. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get married. Amen. I'm just telling you what. There is all kinds of issues. The world won't talk about it because it doesn't fit their narrative. They would rather give your junior hires condoms and tell you that you're unrealistic to think that they won't have sex outside of marriage. I'm telling you what. Here, let me just be honest. If you're handing junior hires condoms, you know what? You might expect that they're going to have sex.
Pastor, you shouldn't say that because they're just going to have sex anyway.
Okay. All right. Okay. You believe what you want to believe, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you a factual. The facts are, in the 1960s, there were a lot less junior hires and high schoolers having sex outside of marriage. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I'm just telling you the facts. I'm telling you what the media won't tell you. And the politicians won't tell you. And then we want to back up and think that we're going to, you know what, get on their page because we don't want, you know. And here, and then if they did have sex and if they did get pregnant, guess what they did? Most of them got married.
Well, you shouldn't get married if you don't love the person.
Here, let me give you a deep reality. You shouldn't have sex if you're not committed to the person. Amen. And then what you're going to do is this child is going to come into the, can I tell you what the one number one issue? There's so much talk about child poverty. Can I tell you the one issue that will keep children out of poverty more than any other issue? Does anybody know what it is? Parents. Having two parents. I know you're not being told that by the media, but that is the facts. That is the truth. Amen. 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 Amen.
Pastor, but my girlfriend, she'll think I'm like crazy if I don't have sex with her.
Well, she might be the one that you need to slip out the back, Jack. Amen? Make a new plan, Sam. No need to be coy, Roy. See, get yourself free. Recognize there's a freedom of washing your hands and purifying your heart and start finally standing up to God. Let me tell you what, we all have issues. We all have challenges. But there's time in the body of Christ that the Christians start standing up and saying, I'm going to walk in righteousness. And whether that's to stay free from sexual impurity for singles, or whether it is for me to stop gossiping, or whether it is for me to start to being not so selfish and start to help to fund the kingdom of God. Whatever the issue it is, today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day to step up. Today is the day to say, you know what? This isn't a good sermon for the person sitting next to me. This is a good sermon for me to hear today. And I'm not going to make any more excuses why I can't. When God is telling me and convicting me and saying, no, you can, and I'll help you to do it. So right after he says, draw near to God and he'll draw close to you, he says, I want there to be this purification of your life, the outward and the inward, the hands and the heart. Amen. Yeah. And stop being double-minded. Pastor, what is your point? My point is what I think that the Spirit's point as he's writing this. And I think there's something that happens. And we don't have time to go into it because I want to go over a couple things. But if you keep on reading down, he just keeps on talking about the purification, about walking in holiness. Above this, watch this, above this, he says, he calls these Christian people, he says, you're adulterers and you're adulteresses. And he's talking about you have an extramarital affair with sin. The Bible says to be in love with the world is to be an enemy. You make yourself an enemy to God. And so, watch this. Sandwiched right between, right where he says in that verse 8, he says, you know what? Draw close to God and he draws close to you. Sandwiched right in the middle is him saying, purify your hearts. You're adulterers and adulteresses. Clean it up. Get it together. You know what? Put away that stuff. Then right after that, he's purify your hearts, purify your hands. You know what? You double-minded. And he continues to talk in this kind of language. So, Pastor, what is your point? Here's my point. That sometimes we have Is this you sometimes? Tamara, this is me sometimes. And I'll go to the, my wife will call me before she comes home. She'll say, hey, get ready. I'm coming home. I got a bunch of stuff. I got groceries and I got dog food and I got stuff. I'm gonna be home in a little bit. Be ready to help me. And I'm ready to help her. And I'll have all this stuff in my hands. And I'll be coming in, and then I'll see one more thing in the car. And my optimism gets me. hand me that coffee or whatever that. And I'll just think. And Nick, and what happened? Where'd my mic go? Oh. Hey, honey, they think I didn't plan that. They think I did that on accident. I'm a good illustrator, am I not? And that one thing that I shouldn't have, it's one more thing. What's my point? My point is, I think this is sandwiched in between as he's talking about walking in purity, you know what, all before, and then all after, and then right in the middle, I think it's sandwiched there on purpose because here's what I think. See? I think sometimes you can't draw close to God because you're too full of stuff. Hebrews says, calls it sins and weights that so easily ensnare you. And so I think hermeneutically, right between him saying, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you, is this reality. And he's saying, look, you can't really obtain God until you let loose of these other things. Shake your head like this if this makes a little sense. And let me tell you about God. God is like, let me tell you, I'm a jealous God. You want to keep her phone number? Hello? You want to keep her phone number? Okay, but you can't have an intimate relationship with me and still have her phone number. Because that's how I am. I just want complete loyalty. You hear about these guys, you know, these married men, and they have they have a phone. Here, let me illustrate again. They have a phone that their wife knows about, right? And then they have another phone. Oh, y'all look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Y'all play poker? Because you are good at it, okay? There's some good poker players right here. Okay, and listen, and I can have two phones, and I can play that game with my wife, but how many know I can't play that game with God? How many know I can't play that game with God? And let me just tell you the truth. The truth is, men, I'm telling you this, I'm trying to love you, I'm trying to save you, that other phone, she's going to find. Can you say amen to this? So I'm trying to throw you out a lifeline. Listen, you're supposed to, hey, just understand, when you come to church, you open up yourself. Listen, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows it all. And he loves you with all his heart. So what he wants to do in the privacy of nobody else knowing, not even the pastor knowing. Well, why is he saying all this? I don't know who. I don't know who. But here's what I know, that God will send you out a lifeline because he wants your sin only to be known between you and him, if possible. But if you're going to keep on playing the game, he loves you enough to know, he loves you enough to say, I care about your salvation more than your reputation. And what I will do is eventually, I will expose you, not because I don't love you, but because you will kung fu grip that and not let go of it and say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep a hold of it and I love you enough. Understand, your salvation is at stake. And I love you too much. And I will expose it. So why don't you just make the correction before it's exposed? Amen. Because everything that's hidden will be put to the light. Everything. So right in the middle of this, he's saying this, I believe, because there's a reality of, if I want to grab a hold of a close relationship with God, I've got to have a willingness to let go of some things that I know I need to let go of. And let me just tell you, unapologetically, these things that we, it's one of the reasons why we need to read the Bible every day. Because you know what the Bible says? The word washes your mind. How many ever liked something before that you don't like anymore? That's what can happen through you reading the Bible every day. Through you coming to church. Well, I'm going to come to church no more. Pastor told me to. Well, you listen. Now's not the time to stop coming. Now's the time to get deeper into the things of God. Can I tell you the truth? Jesus Christ is coming soon. My first point is, you've got to let go of some things that are holding you back in order for you to walk in the riches that God has for you. You know the story. It's a story of a way to trap a monkey. And they put a something that the monkey wants, a peanut or something, in this jar. And it's the hole small enough, then jar is chained. And it's just, the hole is just small enough for that monkey to put his hand through. But when he grabs it, the fist makes it, it's not big enough for him to for him to pull it out. And so the monkey sees that which is coming to entrap him. He sees the people coming to cage him, to enslave him. But he has such a desire that he doesn't understand what that peanut is going to do. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Don't be deceived, my friends. Be willing to understand the richness that God has for you is greater than anything that the world has for you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Number one. Number two, hallelujah. When you get God, you get everything. Again, going back to my Baptist roots that I thank God for so many wonderful, rich things that I learned in the Baptist church that I was raised in. But Amy Simple McPherson, I think, really understood some things. If you don't know, she was the founder of the Four Square denomination. And Amy Simple McPherson recognized that Jesus was her Savior. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we recognize that. Tell me if this wasn't true, Fred. Did we not hear a lot of messages on the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, that we could live in heaven forever? I think we heard more of those sermons by far than any other sermon. Matter of fact, I think that was the series for 1975 and 1976 and 1977 and 1978. I think no matter what the series is, that's what was taught, and that's a wonderful thing. But I think Amy Simple McPherson recognized something as she came up with the four square, what she called the four square gospel. And she recognized that Jesus Christ was our Savior. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But she recognized that there was four squares that the gospel was built on. And it wasn't just that Jesus Christ was our Savior. If there has to be one thing, if you say, Pastor, what's the most important thing? I would say absolutely the new birth. The fact that we can accept Christ and be cleansed from all unrighteousness and go to heaven. But what Amy Simple McPherson recognized was, like some of my old professors would call her, Sister Amy. But what she recognized is this: that Jesus Christ was also our soon coming King. And that was one of the four squares. She recognized that Jesus Christ was the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. She recognized that Jesus Christ was our healer. And those were the four squares that come up with the four square gospel. Well, I thank God for that. But I think Amy missed it a little bit, because I think there were some other squares that need to be included. What I'm saying to you is, recognize when you draw close to God, there's something that happens. And it's more than you just getting saved and going to heaven. Here, let me illustrate. How many of you, when you came to this church, you were either already saved, or you came to this church and you got saved in here, but after you got saved, somebody say, after you got saved. Or after you were saved. So you're already going to heaven, right? But your life got richer. You learned some things. Your marriage got better. You were able to handle your finances better. You had better relationship with your kids or your grandkids. You know what? You maybe even learned some other thing from the Word of God. You started to clean up your mouth and things you started to say. But just raise your hand if after you were saved, You started coming here and your life still got better. Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand. Put it up real high. Let me see. What? See, that is proving my point. When you get God, do you get salvation? Yes, but you get all these other things that are included, and you have to recognize that. That's part of coming to God. It's revealed in John. Beloved, I pray that you be in health and prosperous in what? All things. What? As your soul's prosperous. See, God wants your soul to be prosperous, but he wants every area in your life. And let me tell you about God. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of a loving Heavenly Father. The Bible says, he who is not withheld his son, what other thing will he withhold from you? If he's given us his son, most important, absolutely. But are there other things that God has given us? Is that part? When you come to God, because God is so many things, recognize there's this richness. When you come to God and give him your heart, will the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Absolutely. But there's other things that you get when you get God. Amen. And I want you to recognize that today. Look, think about this. Think of how God has revealed himself in the names that he names himself. Georgie, go ahead and put that up. Jehovah God, right? Jehovah means God. But after that, he's revealed in detail all these other things that he is to us. Amen?
Amen. Come on.
How many ever felt that somebody needed to go before you? You felt like that one guy said. He said, my family is the most jacked up family. Of all the families, my family is the most jacked up.
That's right.
And in my family, I'm the most jacked up in my family.
Right.
Who said that? Gideon said that.
Gideon.
How many feel like Gideon sometimes? And you need God to go before you and be your banner.
Amen. Come on.
What is he? He's Jehovah Nissi to you. He's Jehovah Ra. He's our shepherd. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the one who heals us. He's Jehovah, all these things. And God is our what? He is here. He's our righteousness. He's the Lord who sanctifies us. He's the Lord who provides for us. He's the one who provides peace for us. He's our host. He's all these things. And in the Old Testament, he's saying, guys, recognize I'm not here. He said it like this when Abraham said, who do I say sent me? He said this. He said, I tell you what, you tell him, I am sent you. I am what? I am the one who's going to deliver these million slaves out from your control. You need to understand who I am. I am whoever I need to be for these people. I am whoever I need to be for these people. I am the one who's going to provide manna for them. Every day, I'm the one who's going to provide meat for them. I'm the one who's going to provide shoes for them that never wear out. I am the one who's going to provide for them, you know what, clothing that doesn't wear out. I'm the one who's going to give them all the gold of the Egyptians. You know what? You don't understand. I am the one who's going to, there's going to be, because of me, none feeble amongst them. That's who I am. You tell him, you think you're messing with, you think I'm playing around? You're messing with I am. That's who you're messing with. Amen. Are you learning something? That's the same God that we serve. And when we come to God, are we going to heaven? Yes, we're going to heaven. But when we come to God, we get all of that. We get everything that he provides for us. You cannot come to God. Let me just take, you know what, Jehovah Shalom. Has anybody ever felt a little anxiety through this craziness of the last 2 years? Amen. They first tell us masks don't help. I'm telling you, that came from the CDC or CDB or whatever. do you remember when they told us that? Do you remember when they told us, no, just we're just locking down for 2 weeks? Does somebody remember 2 weeks? Somebody remember that one? Yeah, that wasn't so long ago. And they act like they, oh, let me tell you, you know what? Oh, just take the shot. Oh, no, it's a two-part shot. Oh, no, it's a booster. It's a booster. And now they're saying, now they're already talking about the fourth booster. I'm telling you what they're saying. And here's the thing. They say it with such confidence. Oh, I'm sorry. The ones who said just it's just going to be 2 weeks, those people? Oh, those people? The ones who told you there would be, I'm telling you what, you don't have to go back like 8 weeks. I mean, 8 months. They told us that they're the same people that are in authority right now told us that they would not mandate. I'm just telling you what they told you just a year ago, that there's no way they would mandate this. Amen. And now there's people in this congregation that are being threatened to lose their jobs. Amen. I mean, parents who are football players who are told that they're going to, are told to work out with the mask on. I'm sorry. Really? Hey, coach, I got 8 masks for you. You put it on. And you run around the field 40 times. And see how good that is for your health. Can somebody feel my pain? And I'm telling you, it's frustrating because my heart goes out for, you know what, for y'all. My heart goes out to you. Are you learning something today? True story. The same guy that said that masks are not effective, I heard myself say, not only should you wear a mask, but you should wear goggles. I am not lying to you. I heard him say that. Double mask and you should wear goggles because that stuff can fly in your eyes. Has anybody been anxious about stuff besides me? I'm asking, the last 2 years. You know, having to write a religious exemption. You know, hoping that these, it's like, oh my goodness. They are the ones who are going to decide whether my religious exemption is okay or not okay. I mean, am I the only one? Does that sound a little like crazy? That Albertsons is going to judge whether I'm sincere or not concerning my relationship with God? Yeah. Pastor, what's your point? My point is, I wake up at 4:00 in the morning last night and I can't go to bed. Because this stuff is just grades on me. Pastor, what did you do? I drew close to God. And he drew close to me. And in a matter of 15 minutes, somebody say 15 minutes. Amen. Jehovah Shalom. When I drew close to him, he drew close to me. And that which he had became what I had. Amen. My wife likes to wear perfume. Amen. And come on. Somebody help me out. Somebody encourage me. Somebody encourage me. Should I sing it? Should I sing it? Should I sing it? They don't even know what I'm going to sing right now. And you know what? And I like to draw close to her. Come on, baby. Light my fire. See, you didn't think I was going to sing that, did you? But as I draw close to her, you know what? And all of a sudden you're like, what perfume do you like? Coach. All of a sudden you're like, why does Pastor smell like Coach? That's like a woman's. Why? Because when I draw close to her, that which is on her becomes on me. So, Pastor, how come you went back to sleep like a baby? Why? Because Jehovah Jireh, that which is on him, as I drew close to him, he draw close to me. And all of a sudden, all these things that God says. See, I want you to catch this, not because I think that all these things, not because I don't think that salvation or the new birth is the most important. I understand if you had to choose one thing, choose that you would be with God forever and ever. I'm just sharing with you, look at the list. This is how God wants to reveal himself. And as he's revealing himself, he's saying, let me tell you what, I am a lot of other things to you. Let me be your peace. Let me be your host. Let me be your provider. Let me be your righteousness. Let me be all those things, because that's who I am. And if you'll draw close to me, all those things will become very mindful that that's who you are. And in the midst of the fire, Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego say, I tell you what, God is going to deliver us. Amen. In the midst of the roaring lions, Daniel says, goes in there. It's like, you want to mess with me? You're messing with God. That's who you're messing with. Do you understand this? See, that's what you get. My third point, and I'm almost done. The ball is in your court. My passage is here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And it's a passage that says that, you know what, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What's my point? My point is Jesus Christ has gone to the cross. Who was righteousness, he took your unrighteousness. There's no more. Christ said on the cross, it is finished. Jesus Christ is at the right hand, right now, at the right hand of God. He's interceding for you and I right now. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and the feet. Peter says that you have been given everything you need in life and godliness. You have been given everything you need. Have been given everything you need. Ephesians, we read this just this week. Ephesians says that all these blessings in the heavenlies, all of them have already, chapter I think 2, already been given to you. Can you say amen to this? See, the reality is, guys, it's in your court. It's in your court. Last night when I woke up at 4:00 in the morning, you know what? All that God had for me, all that peace that he had for me, it was all there. Read it. It's in James when you get home, it's in that same chapter 4. And it's in chapter 4 where he says, why are you so, I'm paraphrasing, why are you so jacked up? Here, let me get it. Unparaphrased. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Just let me read it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires and your pleasures? You war in your members. You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. See, what do? When you get riled up at 4 o'clock in the morning, do you do what I used to do? Lie on one side, lie on the other side, look at the clock, worry a bunch more, worry, and then at 5:15, I wake up at 5:30. At 5:15, you finally get to bed for 15 minutes, and then it's time to get up. So you have all these issues. And James says, let me tell you what the real issue is. The real issue is you have not because you ask not. Last night in the morning when I was troubled by so many things, I just got up and said, God, be my peace right now. The ball's in your court. If you will draw close to him, he will draw close to you. My last point, and I won't be long at this. Number 4, when you desire God, he will respond to you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. I remember one time I needed my dad to help me. I was doing a resume, and I needed my dad to help me with a resume. And I just needed him to do some stuff. And I remember calling him, and I remember he said, yeah, come on over. And I was in the office over there, my old office, his old office. And I remember something happened, and I think a secretary came in or something. And he said, oh, no, I canceled that appointment. My son needed some help in this. And, man, I just felt loved. Watch this. I still remember that day. And I remember that day because my dad said, no. He's important. I'm going to minister to him. This can wait. That's who our God is. And any time that you will draw close to God, God says, everything else can wait. Not like God isn't the like total multitasker, you know what I mean? But it doesn't change the reality. You know why God's there for us? Here, let me get real deep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Why in the world did God send Jesus? Because you are the balm. You are the cat's meow. You are all that in a bag of chips. You are everything to him. And so when you draw close to him, he says, I'm there for you. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm there for me. If I would have woken at 2 o'clock in the morning, he would have been there. If I would have woke at 1 o'clock in the morning, he would have been there. He is there for every single one of us, whoever will humble out. Oh, that's in chapter 4. Humble out. Humble out. Oh, I can take care of this. Okay. So we'll see how that goes for you. Or you can humble out, draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. Somebody learn something today? Somebody learn something today? Somebody glad they came to church today? How many ever felt like sleeping in sometimes? Come on, be honest. How many ever felt like, you know what, how many ever it happened to you that in the way, you know what, everything went wrong? You know what I mean? The iron fell off and hit the cat in the head, and now the cat's got like this iron thing on his head. You know what I mean? You're thinking, oh, you know what, I need to take him to the vet. You know what? And all this stuff. Hello? But then you hear God say, no, your cat's going to be okay. You need to go to church. Hello? Am I the only one? Or other things that happened. I'm telling you what. God has a place for you. He wants you to draw close to Him. This message wasn't just a good message for you to hear. This message was critical. This message is juggler for you to hear. You know what? This is I guess my fifth point. But we have in our Christianity is turned into something like where we go to eat. It's not a big deal whether we go to Jack in the Box or Burger King or In-N-Out or Chipotle. It's like, that is not church, guys. God wants us to be so dependent upon Him that He not only wants you to come every Sunday and every Wednesday, but He wants you to be with Him every single day in His Word. Sunday and Wednesday is just a time for us to come together, and as He's orchestrated, as God has put someone over you. I'm not trying to be, but I'm saying we discount the whole understanding of who God is. God is the one. Jesus Himself, the Bible says in Ephesians, gave some to be pastors. We're just like, you don't get it, guys. You don't get it. I don't have a good message for you today. I have a message from God Himself to you today. How many learned something today? Let me ask you this. How many want to draw closer to God today? Well, what a perfect time to start. Amen. How many of the Bible says God inhabits the praise of His people? Can you jump into praise with us? Can you make your life that's what drawing close to God is about. It's about saying, God, You are important. You are the one I need.